Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Our next conversation is going to get very real. Because sometimes when we talk about the seriousness of retirement and adequate planning for it, we tend to discount the level of saving that we need to apply to make sure that we do reach our goals, but also just the heightened level of discipline that's also required to make sure that we achieve the desired outcomes that we have intended. So I'm keen to ask you, when you take a look at your statements, speak to your certified financial planner and they give you a synopsis and scenario planning of your retirement plan and investments you have in place, could you still retire comfortably by the age of 65? Let that simmer and share your thoughts. 063-688-0959. Well, we're going to take a look at a study now from Sanlam, which does indicate some concerns around the retirement age in South Africa, and that essentially South Africans might have to work for a little longer to make sure that they can retire comfortably. We're joined now in studio by the managing executive at Sanlam Umbrella Solutions, Nzwa Shoniwa, to tell us more about some of the insights that we see here. Such a pleasure to have you with us, sir.
Evening. Thanks for having me, Google.
I'm excited for this conversation. And the truth is, nobody really gets excited about talking about retirement when you still have, 30, 40 years.
Exactly.
We all want to be forever 21. But maybe we just need to shine the light once again on the importance of retirement savings, especially in a market like South Africa, where it's typically documented that, 7% of the population can actually afford to retire comfortably?
Yeah, I guess, from our side, we've been doing the research now for about 40 years, and the theme has been the same over that period. And that theme is around the fact that, there's low preservation rates, low savings rates, and most people are heading towards a retirement where they won't have enough. And what enough means in our industry, obviously, it's a difficult one. It's obviously centered around your lifestyle, what amount of debt you've got when you get to retirement. But the industry norm talks about a net replacement ratio of 75%. And what that essentially is that when you get to retirement, you want to try and replace 75% of your final salary.
Got you.
So that's really what you should be targeting. So whatever lump sum you have should buy you a pension that replaces 75% of your final salary. Now, the research we've just done on the Sanlam Umbrella Fund, which is just over 300,000 members, is that most of our members are heading to a situation where when they get to retirement, they'll only be able to replace 25% of their final salary.
Ooh.
So that's really, where this whole conversation has kicked off. It's the dire state of people's savings at the moment, a lot of it driven by not preserving when they were changing jobs. But there's also this dipping into the two-pot savings, which we all know has impacts further down the road.
That number is still ringing in my head right now, because to put it simply, if you earn 10,000 rand whilst you're working, once you enter retirement, 2,500 rand. And we all know that significant shrink in terms of your income limits you in terms of the options, the comfortability and the lifestyle that you'd like to enjoy, especially after having worked for so long and for so hard. Let's go back to the reasons, because I think sometimes we forget that it goes back to the behavior that South Africans might employ during their working life in terms of taking out deductions from their pension fund and now the two-pot.
No, definitely. And the main one will always be the issue around preservation. We've seen the stats, at Sanlam Corporate, where when people change jobs, they always cash out their retirement savings. And a lot of talk about around two-pot last year was the access that people had, the 30,000 seeding capital that was being put into the savings pot. What was not really spoken about was what two-pot is also trying to achieve, which is preservation. So you now have the three pots: savings pot, retirement pot, and the vested pot. And that retirement pot is the one that you cannot access. So basically what Treasury is trying to do is to stop people from accessing, part of their retirement benefits. And that further down the line in whatever, 15, 20 years, will have some sort of impact where people have saved up this nest egg and they haven't been able to access it. So the issue is around preservation. But the other issue is with those people that are saving for retirement, we also see that, there's an issue around low savings rates. So where we look at a participating employer that maybe, offers their employees different categories of savings. So maybe you can save at 5%, 7.5%, or 10%.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of employees tend to just take the 5%. And what is the reasoning behind that? They're all trying to just maximize how much they take home. So the low savings rate is another issue, obviously, another aspect that's playing out with regards to these low, you know, these low net replacement ratios that we're seeing in the future.
Mm-hmm. I think this also brings to the fore the concern around adequate financial education, right? Or South Africans making the time to sit down with a financial planner who's a professional to make sure that you actually get a full understanding of what your financial needs are.
So, I like where you've taken this conversation. From our side, when we sit down and look at, you know, what aspects we can actually make a meaningful difference with regards to improving retirement outcomes, mm-hmm. a lot of it, you know, is not in our control, which is massive salary increases mm. or getting people to double their savings. I think the one aspect that we've looked at in the umbrella fund side is definitely the issue around financial literacy.
Yes.
When people start to understand the impact of their decisions today, how that will impact them in the future, how that will impact their grandchildren, that is sort of the stance we are taking. And really, a lot of pensioners that we surveyed last year during our benchmark survey, one of the aspects they spoke about was that they wish they had spoken to a professional financial advisor earlier. Mm. So what you're trying to do now is to get to those people who can still make some sort of meaningful difference to their retirement savings by making the right decisions today. And a big part of it is financial literacy and proper good financial advice. That can make a difference around people understanding the tax benefits of, you know, saving your retirement savings, yes. as opposed to saving outside your retirement savings. Yeah. So maximize that first. So just those aspects that a lot of people don't understand. And, you know, we see it with our own members, some who are close to retirement, the questions that they ask us when we have our webinars. That there's really a lack of understanding of, you know, the impact of the decisions that people make mm. during their working life.
Very true. We'll come back to that in a moment because I definitely want us to delve deeper into it. But looking at the report and some of the internal analysis assumptions that you've made, it's quite interesting in terms of, you know, not only salary increases on average that many South Africans get, but also just an understanding of how long South Africans typically work for. Maybe take us through that narrative, because it's easy to assume 21, true. You start working, you true. Actively save. But the truth is, sometimes there's a nice little red car.
Yes.
There's holidays and trips. There's the Instagram life. And sometimes the reality is that many South Africans only enter the job market in their late 20s.
Now, and that's actually a good point where, you know, we always speak about the fact that South Africa is quite unique in comparison to other countries when we look at, you know, the whole retirement landscape. And one of the aspects where South Africa is quite unique is that where, as in other countries, you actually get the opportunity to work and save for a 40 to 45-year period leading up to your retirement age of 65. In South Africa, when we look at our stats and our data, a lot of people actually have the opportunity to save for about 35 years and less, ooh. Simply because they enter the job market, you know, much later. So from about 30 years is when we're seeing people entering the job market. So by that time, you've already lost out. You spoke about the age of 21, which is the right age for people to start working, you know, post 3 or 4 years of university. So they've already lost out on about 9 years of working and nine years of saving. So you're starting already on the back foot in comparison to someone in the, you know, in the developed world.
9 years of compound growth that's lost, right?
100%. So outside of the preservation aspect, there is that aspect which, you know, is quite unique to our, you know, to our economy where people start working late. So there's that part, and then there's also the issue around the high inflation that we experience within our economy. So with high inflation, it also means that, you know, there's a lot of erosion that's happening to your current savings. So as much as we've got compounding growth, but when you get to retirement in 30 years' time, inflation at 5 to 6% means that the cost of living at that stage is much higher than, you know, what you'd have predicted while you're saving at, you know, at age 30, age 32.
100%. Takes me back to some of the concepts of time, value of money, and those calculations to actually see, well, is 100 rand today going to be worth 100 rand in 10 years' time? Likely not. And that's actually what we need to work against. I'm also keen to understand, as you've mentioned, the socioeconomic environment in South Africa is a complex one. Not only do South Africans enter the job market late, but a large contingent of South Africans are also unemployed,
exactly.
especially those who are in the working age population.
Yes.
Is that also a slight factor?
So I spoke now about entering the job market late. I think you've actually gone to the more pressing aspect, which is the unemployment issue. So, you know, the complexity that we've got is that we've got an unemployment rate, according to Stats SA, of just over 60% for people that are 25 years and below. And from 15 to 34, I think they've got it about 45%. Mm. So we've got a massive unemployment issue. Now, we talk about people having to save for 40 to 45 years. The complexity that you then have within South Africa is that if you're a company and you know that you need to bring in younger people, fresh blood, it's so difficult given the fact that you want to keep this expertise of people that have been there, they've got, you know, the experience, they've got the knowledge. So it's difficult to bring in the younger people. As much as it might be cheaper for you, but you already have older people that are willing to take those lower salaries. So you've got this issue where people are unemployed at a younger age. They come into the workforce at a much older age. And during that period, a lot of companies are struggling to bring them into the companies simply because they are struggling. And the number of people that are knocking on their doors with more experience is a high number in comparison to your, you know, developed economies that have got a lower unemployment rate.
Yeah. And so I want to personalize this conversation for just a moment because yes. I think it will really hit home for many of our listeners. My parents are already retirees as well, but keep themselves active and are still very entrepreneurial. But I do remember when they came back to me and they had the conversation with their financial planner to say, okay, this is what we set for, but there's a slight downgrade that might have to happen here and there. What's the reality of the average client that you typically might, or your team might speak to when it comes to them approaching retirement age in South Africa?
I think reality hits a lot of people when they start looking at their retirement savings and, you know, what they might end up earning as a pension. And that's usually at about age 55, leading up to the retirement of 60, 63, 65.
And that's usually because they're looking at the HR policy, right? Or HR is putting them under pressure.
Speak to someone. Yes. And, you know, and now you've got a lot of good advisors who also pull out these NRR reports for a particular company. And they can see who's in the green, who's in the red. And they try and intervene quite early and have a discussion with that individual that, at the current rate, you are going to retire with X amount. You need to put into context whether you can live on that amount today, because that will be the same sort of lifestyle that you're trying to maintain when you get to retirement. And if you look at your, you know, typical employee that's retiring in South Africa at the moment, the actual reality is that they're retiring with a quarter of their salary. Mm-hmm. So whether it's a quarter of your final salary, well, how you need to look at it is, can I live on a quarter of my salary today? That's really how you need to look at it. And I think one of the aspects that people take for granted is that we say 75% because we take into account that you've probably paid off your house, so you've got lower debt. But however, the other aspect is that your medical bills are probably much more at that time. So, you know, you do need quite a large amount on a monthly basis. And the other aspect that people take for granted is that life expectancy levels have increased.
Yes.
So people live for longer. And that's what sparked the debate with the article that we released about 2 weeks ago, where we're saying people need to work until the age of 80. And all we're saying is that people are getting to retirement, which is age 65, and they don't have enough. Mm. So because you don't have enough, and, you know, we all first really know what the lotto numbers are to try and plug that hole, you only have the option to, you know, continue working. And the other aspect where, you know, South Africa is also in a difficult situation is that there's already a lot of strain on our own social welfare grant system.
Yes.
So, you know, someone who's got into retirement and they have a quarter of their final salary as a pension don't qualify for the social grant system. So they actually have to find their way on their own. And that's the reality, that people are getting to retirement where the things that they now need to cut out are not things that they thought they'll cut out in retirement. You know, people think they'll get to retirement, you eat out. You know, you've seen the adverts for retirement. You're on a yacht somewhere in Cape Town cruising with your loved one. But that's not the reality. Now you're trying to make ends meet just for groceries. And that's really based on some of the cost of living increases we've seen in South Africa over the last 5-6 years.
100%. If you've just joined us, we are in conversation with Nzwa Shoniwa. He's the managing executive at Sanlam Umbrella Solutions, joining us for a conversation that we're having tonight, taking a look at the realities that many South Africans have to face when it comes to retirement. Unfortunately, many of us aren't able to retire quite comfortably by the age of 65. And according to the data and analysis that's been conducted by Sanlam Umbrella Fund, having researched and spoken to more than 300,000 of their members, does seem is that South Africans will really be able to comfortably retire by age 80, according to their findings. If you've just joined us, do feel free to give us your feedback as well. What's your lived reality? Are you a retiree? Are you someone who's still evaluating the outcomes of reaching your retirement goals? Share your voice notes with us on 063-688-0959. Also happy to take your calls on 086-000-959 at 12 minutes after 7 o'clock. And so I want to keep with this and, you know, we will come to the solutions in just a moment because we definitely need to leave our audience feeling more empowered as to, you know, you do. Whether you're 25 or 55, there's always an option to try to make sure that you adequately basically prepare yourself for retirement. But just in terms of some of the data and the nuances, I'm also interested just to get some perspective on perhaps gender splits, racial splits, what we see there. You know, are more women comfortably retired? You can see where my bias is going here, hey? Because we try to take care of things. Yeah. But sometimes we get it wrong too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if I look at 300,000 members that we've got on the umbrella fund, the split is about 51% women, 49% men. So
gotcha. You
know, it's a 50-50 split. What doesn't help though, and you know, we could spend an hour on the reasons, is that women tend to live longer. So in terms of the modeling that we do, there is an expectation that women, you know, will live longer, and they actually require a bigger lump sum. Simply because, you know, we expect them to live longer. So that's the one aspect that's come out. But from a fund perspective across those 300,000 members, it's split across different industries. It's split across, you know, all demographics. We didn't try and, you know, delve into which demographics does the picture look much worse. Which a lot of people take for granted, is that people that are also high earners, you know, even some of the executives in some of these companies that we've served are also on course, you know, to earn low net replacement ratios. Mm. So it's also not based on, you know, your salary or your level at the company, and you think that people that are earning much less are in a much more dire situation. It's not the case. Mm-hmm. We've seen that the data is across the board where most people are actually going to get to the situation where they can't replace their salary.
Got you. You also mentioned levels of indebtedness, which is a significant contributor here. Does that also play an influence in the withdrawal trends?
So again, what's another big issue that's you know, quite unique to South Africa is the levels of debt. And the levels of debt, we might not have appreciated how bad it was in our industry until Tupot came about. You'd have seen that Edward Kiswete came out last week saying total Tupot withdrawals across the industry was 43 billion.
Huge.
So within our own
funds, that's bigger than the market cap of some JSE listed companies.
100%. You know, so to have a retirement system where people are not saving enough and they don't have enough to, when they get to retirement, having 43 billion withdrawn from it just shows you where we're headed. And just from our fund, where we've done this data, we had just over 2 billion that was also withdrawn from a two-pot perspective.
Sure.
And the data we had collated over the 2 years leading up to two-pot, asking our participating employers and employees and our consumers, will they access their two-pot savings? And why will they access their two-pot savings? We had an astounding number of about 70 to 75% saying they'll access because they are in debt.
Ooh.
And they really need to try and cover some of that debt. So the levels of debt will mean that people will always struggle to increase their allocation to retirement savings on a monthly basis because they want to maximize on their net take-home pay. And secondly, it also means that on an annual basis, people are going to access their two-pot savings. Mm. So we'll keep seeing that leakage. Obviously, the longer-term impact is that you cannot access your retirement savings, so we know it's positive for the industry. But that whatever is going to that savings pot, every time the tax year kicks in, the new tax year kicks in, we're actually expecting people to just cash out whatever is sitting in the savings pot. And that speaks to the level of debt that people are trying to you know, to cater for outside of their savings.
Yeah. Again, goes back to financial education and the literacy and understanding the tools that you have. Because it almost seems as though on the one end, they're also losing out on the tax incentives to actually increase their allocation towards their retirement savings, which is something that a lot of South Africans don't typically take into consideration.
100%. You know, you get, I think, you know, Treasury, government, a lot has been done to try and reward savers.
Mm.
So we've got now from a retirement perspective, you know, you get tax incentives of the lower of 27.5% or capped at 350,000 on an annual basis. So that's quite high. Obviously, a lot of people are not getting to the 350,000 cap in terms of their savings that goes into their retirement savings. But outside of that, you also get the tax-free savings accounts. So we're not seeing high allocations or people maxing out the tax, you know, the tax beneficial amount of 27.5%, or a high amount of people then also utilizing our tax-free savings through our Satrix.
Yes.
So it just speaks to the fact that, you know, people are not maximizing what's been you know, provided to them from a tax efficiency perspective through Treasury.
100%. Very important that we take note of this conversation and, of course, get some feedback in terms of our own behaviors. And it's really calling for a moment of self-reflection, because when I think of myself at 80, oh, man, I don't know. I still want to be jet setting and traveling and
you don't
living
want to be working.
On exactly and living on more than 25% of my salary. But I'll tell you what, Nzwa, Dumza has actually sent through a voice note just reflecting on this conversation. Let's take a listen to what Dumza said.
Gugu, I hear you guys saying that, you know, people start to work late. But there's also another factor that needs to be taken into consideration, that a lot of people are breadwinners, you know. They have, like, you know, a lot of people that depend on their income. And for them to save more than 5% is, you know, asking for too much. So sometimes, you know, these are things that need to be looked at.
Got you. Tumza, thank you so much for that voice note and appreciate it. Nzwa, this is where your CFP hat comes on, right?
You know, I 100% agree with Tumza, where there'll always be the theory, there'll always be the modeling that we do that's telling us, say, 15% for 40 years to get to the 75% net replacement ratio. But there are just too many factors that are unique to South Africa, and what Tumza is saying is spot on. We did our research last year, our benchmark research, and one of the aspects that came out, and, you know, you talk about demographics, but this was more linked to African households,
mm-hmm.
where post-COVID, the number of African households that now only had one income or one person working in the household had increased by about 60%. Mm-hmm. So that just shows you that in a situation where you've got, you know, husband and wife both earning a salary, they're both saving towards their retirement, one loses their job in COVID, high unemployment rates in South Africa, so they can't get a job, then you now have one person working. To expect that person to increase their retirement savings, because Nzwa is saying increase, otherwise you work until 80, is not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got this issue of high unemployment, and then those who are employed have got such a burden in terms of what that income is meant to cover.
Yeah.
So, you know, where the solutions can come in, I know we'll get to that, but our situation is quite different in that the solutions are not simply increase your retirement allocation so that you can get a better net replacement ratio, because people actually don't have the money or the, you know, the space to increase their allocation to retirement savings.
Exactly. And there's so many other exogenous factors. As you mentioned, inflation. A few moments ago, we were talking to an economist about the increase in the cost of living. When we take a look at some themes that are making headlines internationally, like eggs and coffee just being a lot more expensive.
Yes.
And it's just a short while before we start feeling that pressure. But one thing I know for certain is that not only has this data been released to give us a very clear understanding of our reality, but it's also been released to give us guidelines. Because the truth is, it's not too late. Rather now, with the time that you have, than just sitting back and putting your head in the sand. So when we look at some of the interventions that we can put in place, what do they entail?
Yeah. So you know, from our side, we won't stop harping on about how bad the situation is, because I think that message needs to continuously be out in the market. Mm. And again, you know, to the voice note that we just received, we know that it will be difficult for you know, individuals to simply just increase the allocation to retirement savings. But we still feel that there's a this is a call to action where collaboration between ourselves, administrators, corporates in the retirement game, with employers as well as government, there's an opportunity. And I think where government can come in is definitely around education and financial literacy.
Mm.
It has to start happening at an earlier age. It has to come into high schools. People need to have a better relationship with money.
Yeah.
That's one intervention that can come in. And then from a you know, employer perspective or corporate's perspective, is that another aspect that's quite common in the retirement game is that employers are willing to match whatever you as an employer is going to save.
Yes.
As an example, if an employer says, if you save 5%, I'll match the 5%. If you save 10%, I'll match the 10%. And where employers can actually come in here is that they can also increase the matching that they're willing to do. So if employers have kept their matching at 7.5%, they can also increase that to 10%, 12.5%. You know, this is not directly going into members' pockets through salary increases. That's separate. But this will go directly into members' savings, members' retirement allocations. So I think that's the one aspect that that employers can, you know, can come in and make a difference. But the main one will always be preservation.
Yes.
When you change jobs, please do not dip into your savings. You know, when the new tax season opens up, by all means, try not to access your savings pot. When I had the chat with you after our benchmark symposium last year, I think one of the aspects that we kept on harping about at Sanlam Corporate was that it's an emergency savings pot.
Just because it's available doesn't mean you should use
it.
The difference that it makes to take out of your savings pot on an annual basis is that the 25% I'm talking about becomes 20, becomes 17, becomes 15%. Mm. So they're actually just making the situation worse. So I think from an individual perspective, it's a preservation. And by all means, do not dip into your retirement savings.
100%. Something else that I think is so critical as I'm sitting here and I'm looking at the creatives in the room, myself included, is that we probably fall into a segment of the market as well that might not always prioritize their retirement savings, because you dip into your retirement savings to start the business, to keep it going. And as you've mentioned, post-pandemic, we do find that there's a lot more flexibility in terms of the working culture that South Africans have. How should those who are entrepreneurial consider how they need to prioritize their retirement savings, regardless of how young or old we are?
And I've got a few friends, entrepreneurs, and it's amazing. You ask them what they're doing, with regards to their retirement savings, you're nearly 40. And there's obviously that aspect of they feel they'll be able to work longer than, us who are in corporate where
because
you have to retire at 65.
Because we all think we'll be forever young, right?
And they also feel some that they'll be able to sell their business, for example. I think the one aspect for entrepreneurs which they need to take more serious than anyone else is that with the fact that they don't have this, compulsory system that you've got in a lot of companies, is to get the financial advice as soon as possible.
Yes.
I think with that financial advice, it would help them structure something in place that even if they do need to access some of those savings, or even if they do need to lower their retirement, lower their allocation towards retirement, someone is helping them to show them what the impact will be when they get to the point where they can't be an entrepreneur, they can't work anymore. Mm-hmm. I think that's the one aspect that's always lacking in the entrepreneurial space, that people do well, they start businesses, and the business does well.
Yeah.
But while the business is doing well, I was listening in on your guest before I joined. This issue around lifestyle creep is a big issue, and you see it a lot with entrepreneurs. And I think once they get proper, solid financial advice, it will help them to understand the implications of not saving for retirement. Mm-hmm. But as they dip in, or as they try and help their business out, I think someone painting the picture and putting a mirror in front of them of what the implications will be will also assist.
100%. Doesn't help being cash rich, but asset poor.
Exactly.
Because in the long term, it catches up with you. And so I've enjoyed this conversation, and thank you so much for making it tangible for us and realistic. It's a harsh reality, but one of those conversations that needs to be had in order to make sure that there is a level of financial sustainability that we have upon retirement. For anyone who wants to read up on it, get more data and insight, can we find it on your website?
Yeah, definitely. So if you go to sanlam.co.za, we've got a page there, Sanlam Corporate. And you'll get access to a lot of this data and assumptions we've made with the modeling. But I think importantly, the budgeting tools are also there. So there's tools that people can also play around with, which will help them, to get a sense of, if I was to increase my savings by 2%, what's the implications? And if I was to dip into my savings pot, what are the implications? And that's what people need to get comfortable with.
Yeah.
Some of those harsh realities in terms of where they are headed. Mm-hmm. And that might then lead to the right decisions today, which will definitely improve retirement outcomes further down the line.
Definitely. Maybe take that deposit for the new shiny car and put it into your retirement savings.
Or stop drinking the coffee.
yes, that's a good one. Such a pleasure speaking to you, Nzo. I really appreciate your time tonight.
Thank you for having me. And thanks to the listeners as well.
Fantastic. That is Nzo Shoniwa, Managing Executive at Sanlam Umbrella Solutions, helping us unpack all things to do with the theme and the realm of retirement in South Africa. Make sure that you follow through with the guidelines. And first things first, just make sure that you do speak to a certified financial planner in order to make sure that you are fully aware of the goals and objectives that you need to work towards from a financial point of view.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.